There's the workout. It's on the wall. Every day it's projected different. All right. There's a lot of variety out there. The players have hands free, which gives us time to get more work capacity done. Sometimes you're walking around recording with a card. You have to stop and pause and write and stop and pause and write. And we don't stop and pause. We keep moving. So in between sets of everything we do, they're doing more activity with trainers, core work, or if they have any issues that they've had in the past that they had a history of bad back or bad shoulder or bad whatever, that person goes through extra work in between sets of what I have them do with the trainers. So the trainers are active in here, the coaches are active, all three strength coaches, me included, and the players have an opportunity to, we have a no sit down rule basically. In other words, if you get caught sitting down, you're doing sit ups. If you argue, it's 10 more, all right? So it's called give me 20. All right. Anybody have any questions?
Is that something that you've used in the past?
No, this is something Mark Lavoie came up with. I think it's a great idea. It just gives us more volume of what we're doing. It gives them more variety. When you have a hard card or something to look on, you know, you're kind of limited on how many lifts you can give them. And this gives them ownership in what they can design to do their own thing. Ownership is important. If you give me ownership in something, I'm going to work harder at it. So we've given our players an opportunity to have ownership in what they design. And as you look up there, you can see choose one, but there's five or six or seven different choices of every lift. And every day is like that. You know, Monday is a more of a triple extension, Olympic move type deal. It's a pull day. So Monday and Thursday are like that. And Tuesday, Friday is more of a push day where we're doing bench, squats, you know, military press, more hypertrophy type work, or, you know, just basic muscle mass work. Muscle mass is important for football because it's a contact sport and it helps protect them.
That's how the players responded, kind of having the freedom to...
They like the freedom of not having their hands full with a pencil and a clipboard and setting it down and stepping on it and, you know, losing it and ripping it and, you know... And that gives me an opportunity to get a lot more work done with them. Their hands are free. They're always working. Well, at the end of their workout, they have a hard card in their cabinet, which is right around the corner here. They have a hard card, and all right, and they record the big lifts, all right, if they so choose. But do you work out? All right, how many times have you recorded your lifts? When's the last time you recorded a workout?
I do that every day.
Do you record everything?
Uh-huh.
All right. You going to write a book?
No, I don't know why I do it.
All right. It's weird,
it
isn't it?
Gives me a rest between
Yeah.
Sets.
No, well, see, we don't take rest. We do a set of bench, and then they're doing some kind of stabilization work. And then we'll do another set of bench, and then they're doing another kind of stabilization work. So in between sets of everything we do, these guys are moving. So we're getting a lot of volume done in a very short period of time. My progression is more about increasing their work capacity as opposed to always increasing their loads. What we're doing a third week into the program, we've added, we're getting done in less than 2 hours is our workout, all right? And we're getting a lot more volume done in less than 2 hours. So I haven't increased their load, so to speak, you know, a little bit. You know, we will, as time goes on, they get in better shape. But their work capacity has definitely increased. We're doing a lot more sets, a lot more reps, a lot more activities. In 2 hours' time, we have five different activities that they have to go through. Now we're doing six activities and still getting it done in an hour and 50 minutes. They're in the shower 2 hours. That's what you want out of a program for football. It promotes durability, the ability to play four quarters and be strong in the fourth quarter. You know, avoid nagging little out-of-shape injuries that happen to you, pulls and tendonitis and things like that. We've also encouraged our guys to take Wednesdays off. You don't get strong in the weight room. You get strong on Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday, sleeping, resting, eating right, replenishing your fluids. Some guys want to get into a mode where they work out 5 or 6 or 7 days a week. That doesn't promote growth. That's too much. I'll tell you what, this is a great group of guys. They've responded very well. they're having a blast. They're pushing each other. They've kind of formed in their groups. The offensive line group are working out together. DBs are working out together, so on and so forth with the whole team like that. So they have really formed a work ethic that has pushed each other. It's not about the program. It's about them. They have responded to this thing. They like the hands-free deal. They like the fact that they get to design their deal within the parameters that we set. If you tell me I have to do squats, you know, and I don't feel like doing squats that day, but there's four other versions of some kind of leg work that I can get done, I'm going to get some work done out of them. You know, not everybody squats, but there's five different versions up there of some kind of leg work. You know, you give them ownership in that, and they'll go to work. Yeah, it's a challenge. Hey, I went through it when I was a player. You know, I thought more was better. And my college strength coach grabbed me one day and said, I want you to work out 2 days a week for the next month. And he talked me into it. I gained 8 pounds and all my lifts went up and I got my vertical jump went up and everything got better. It just proved to me that you don't get strong in the weight room. You get strong on Wednesday and Saturday and Sunday. So it's an addiction. It's a mental thing. You think, well, you know, I got to be doing something. I got to be working. And, you know, what they don't understand is they might feel good on the peripheral, on the, you know, the exterior, but your organs are working overtime to repair this stuff. You don't feel your organs till it's too late. It starts affecting your immune system. You see these nagging little, we call them tub clubbers. They're always getting treatment. They're getting nagging tendonitis and little injuries and little pulls and stuff like that. And that's a good indication of being overtrained. I'd rather a guy be slightly undertrained than overtrained. He has less chance of those problems arising.
And this program is supposed to be beneficial to get through the season from beginning to end.
Good question. Hey, I carry a great big rabbit's foot. It's a monster. I got one in each pocket. All right, and I rub my rabbit's foot all day long. Takes a lot of luck to stay healthy. The thing that this type of program or this type of work in any off-season program in the NFL, hey, if these guys are in shape to play the game of football, those chances of going through these nagging little things that, you know, second and fourth quarter, at the end of the second quarter, at the end of the fourth quarter when fatigue sets in and somebody gets to you because you're fatigued, you know, and you get rolled up on because you're too tired to get out of the way, you know, when you're not fatigued, those things have less a chance of happening. Most of your injuries occur late in the second and fourth quarter. You know, if you do the research on it, that's when they're tired.
Dave, you've been doing this a long time. Is it hard to believe you could go months without seeing these guys and then cram it all to try and get them ready to play a season? You used to?
I'm not sure I understand you. The world is different now. These kids are different. You know, they're spread out. There's more information. In the high schools and the colleges, there's better trainers out there. There's individual trainers that, you know, grab at these guys. You know, for them to come in here and commit to this deal, yeah, you know, it's kind of harder to get them to invite them into this situation. But once they get in and you give them ownership like we have, I think the response has been great. There's a lot of information out there for these guys. There's a lot of variety out there for these kids. There's more things to do in this world. You know, their life isn't just about football, you know, so it is different. When I first started coaching in football, I mean, guys who were playing football, that's all they did was play football, you know.
So efficiency is a big part of this, and hopefully the lack of injuries will be a big part of it. What else is there?
The efficiency is a huge part about this. We're being very efficient with our time, and work capacity loads are going up. What was the rest of it?
Well, injuries, obviously, lack of, you know, hopefully less injuries. Well, what else is there that you're looking for with this program?
Durability, longevity for these guys. You know, you talk about longevity to these players, and that lights them up a little bit. I can play in the league maybe 4 or 5 more years. In my experience of being around a lot of professionals in the last 30 years, the 5 teams I've coached in the NFL and 3 in college, and guys that stayed in shape year-round. Now, January, February, March, you're not going to be doing what you're going to be doing in April, May, June, getting ready for the season. But I gave them something to go home with. I gave them 2 words, stay even. You know, don't ever let your conditioning level fall down below to the bottom, and then during the off season you only get back to a certain point. That curve should do this, not this, back to where you get in, down and only get back to where you want to be. So year-round training for longevity is important for these guys. There's different intensities, there's different levels at different times of the year that you give them stuff to do. We're getting intense right now. I got 9 weeks with them, all right, before we start OTAs. I got 9 weeks of hard work. I will send them home with information the 4 to 5 weeks that they get off in July to get them ready to go into camp and stay even again. But we're going to peak in 9 weeks. We're going to be at a point where they're going to be at new strength levels, new capacities, new endurance, new, you know, and hope they gain the durability and the flexibility and the mindset to be ready for a hard, long season. This is an abusive sport. It's because the number of bodies out there flying around, 22 bodies flying around, there's not a sport like it in the world. There's more participants. There's more collisions. There's more pileups, more bodies. How many people in this room have been in a car wreck? Yeah, and your body kind of goes, Well, every time you get a gang tackle, that's what's happening. It feels like you're in a car wreck. And building up muscle mass and building up strength and endurance and work capacity and workloads, hopefully we can prevent them from that car wreck taking over or winning the battle, you know, so to speak.
Based on your experience, when rookies and draft picks get in, is there any chance of them being able to catch up to the level that these guys are at?
It's tough. No, not really. It's tough on those kids. Now, but I would have to say if they're smart right now, they're back in their colleges busting tail. You know, they don't come in here out of shape, I hope. You know, some do. Some aren't smart enough to figure that out. But, you know, once they get here and get involved in our program, they won't be at this level with our players. But when they go home with the information, hopefully they pick it up a notch. They got to go home in July and really pick it up.
Dave, when Rock Gullickson took over, all of our stories reflected that he, you know, wanted more free weights and fewer machines. And then we talked to you a lot about that when you got here. Did you get any different machinery when you took over, or is this all exactly the way it was when you came?
We eliminated a lot of machinery, all right, and added those two big long dumbbell sets and some other free weight stuff over here that you see, and that's it. So all I really did was just open up the middle of this room. The reason why the middle of this room is open like this, because we have a lot of activity, movement activity with weights in your hand, walking lunges, sliding, you know, you step back and slide, one-legged squats, a lot of activity on the move. So that's why the middle of this room is wide open, where before it was full of machines. I'm a work on your feet guy. You know, if we can do something more on our feet, because what you're doing when you play football is you're trying to defy gravity. Every sport there is, including swimming, you're pushing against something with your feet and legs. And it's that simultaneous extension of the ankle, knee, hip that no matter how you want to say it, that's what you're doing when you're performing as an athlete, trying to defy gravity, stop and go on a dime, you know. Jump high, run fast, fall down, get up, and all that involves being on your feet. So we simulate those activities on our feet. So in the middle of this room, they'll have their, it looks like an anthill sometimes crawling in here. Everybody's moving. When they get done with a set, the trainers grab them, work on some kind of, you know, some kind of injury that they've had in the past or a history. That's probably most of what we do as far as monitoring technique and fundamentals. If I see a guy's posture's breaking down, usually he's got too much weight in his hands, right? I want to see posture perfect. So we spend a lot of time on technique. Our ultimate goal is to, I've been really lucky, knock on wood, and thanks for my rabbit foot. I've never had an injury in the weight room. Because I watch them, and you coach them, you teach them your technique, and all we are is technique teachers. And if they are doing something that is out of control, I'll stop the lift, have them lower their load, and do it right. You know, it's not, this is not like weightlifting for to be a better weightlifter. This is weight training and conditioning to be a better football player. I want people to understand that my ultimate goal is not to have 10 guys bench press 500 pounds or 18 guys clean 400 pounds. I could care less. You know, I've had guys that can't bench press their sister and they're all pro every year. But they use bench press as a tool to be a better football player. All these are is tools, all right? And when you teach these tools, make sure that you're teaching it right. You know, you see sometimes techniques in high schools and college programs that gets a little carried away because they're more interested in numbers. I'm not interested in numbers. I want them to be the same guy on the first play of the first game and be the same guy on the last play of the last game to make the block, the tackle, the catch, the throw, the kick, to win, you know what. That's what we're all here for, to get a ring. It's all that matters.
Dave, what do you learn about guys when you push them and keep them going and to the point of exhaustion?
Well, you learn about their work capacity. You learn, you know, there's a wall. In every game, I tell them, the first meeting I had with them, I said, guys, anybody in this room that has been through a football game, there's a moment you have to make a decision. Can I go another play? Do I want to go to the sidelines and have my peers make fun of me? You know, most of the time, because of pride, you don't want to go over there. Sometimes all of us have failed that. Fatigue makes cowards of everybody. It's hard. What I want them to be able to do, and when I train them, I call it a gut check. Every day there's a part of this program that will take them to that moment. Some guys can kick that wall down. Some guys you have to take them through that wall and show them how to do it. Some guys know how to do that and how to go beyond that point when they train. So there's a moment of every workout 4 days a week that there's a gut check. Right, it takes them to that moment where they have to make a decision. Can I go another rep? Can I go another set? Can I keep this pace? That's what I'm after. Work capacity, volume, ownership. These kids have done a great job of pushing each other. They've got little groups going on right now. The DBs, offensive line, the linebackers, defensive line. They got their groups going, and they're really pushing, and they're taking people to new limits. That's where I want it to go. It doesn't have to come from me all the time. It should come from them. You know, those who invest the most are the last to surrender. And I tell you what, when you're on the football field and you have to make that decision, you look to the right of you and to the left of you, and there's, you know, he ain't going to quit. He isn't going to quit. I'm not either.
When guys get pushed to that point, do they like you very much?
Not at first. But you know what? After a game, they thank me. Right now they're not thanking me, you know.
Dave, the
last question.
The monitor says the workouts, like tomorrow's workouts start in the gym, Friday's workouts start in the Hudson Center. That's the conditioning part?
Well, it depends. When we start in the gym, it's a warm-up, flexibility, speed, or some footwork drills, some plyometrics, right? Then we come in and lift. Then we go down to the Hudson Center, and we condition because I have space down there to run, do pattern run, which I call individual group running. They do what's apropos to their position. And then on days that we start in the Hudson Center, we end up here, and we call it apparatus intervals. They can do the treadmill, jump rope, slide board. They have seven different choices of something they want to do. When we start down below, we call it dynamic flexibility and speed training. And they're pulling sleds, we're doing bullet belts, we're doing overspeed training and things like that. And the dynamic flexibility is a real aggressive movement pattern, you know, putting them through what they do as football players, you know, and movements. So when it comes time to play the game, that body's used to doing those movements, and therefore you avoid pulls. And, you know, what I don't like to see a guy do is go away and run straight lines all the time, because the only time you get to run in a straight line in football is when you run on the field for warm-up. After that, it's crazy. So we put them through those movements. Obnoxious, out of control, off balance to balance moves.